Look at verse 4, 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, Jesus Christ, to take away our sins. And how could he do that? Because it says, and in him was no sin. Verse 5. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, what is it that motivates us? The third thing that motivates us to love and obey God is the cross. The cross. I mean, what did Jesus do so that we could be, as it says there in verse number 5, how could he take away our sins? Well, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So, somebody had to die, and somebody that died had to be sinless, the Son of God. And so the cross, and so we look at the cross and we see the suffering. And if you forgot about it, I know you didn't forget about it, but go to the Gospels and read the accounts of the cross. Every once in a while, it'd be good to do that. You know, we get to thinking that we've got it rough and we've got it difficult. And that's not to say that you might not be going through a difficult time right now. You know what I find when I start to get a little bit, you know, looking at myself and thinking, oh, it's just terrible for me. Just go read the cross. Go read about what Jesus did. Go read about the suffering. Go read about the pain. Go read about all that he went through. And again, I'm not belittling maybe a difficulty that you have on your heart tonight, but he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He endured so much more than I'll ever endure. And so as I look at the cross, it motivates me. I want to do right. Why? Because of the cross. I want to love him because the cross, and I see that cross, and I see the blood that was shed, and it's not there. It's now interceding on your behalf and my behalf in heaven, and praise the Lord for that. That's a great motivator, the cross. Why was the cross, why did it have to be that way? The Bible talks about it here. It's because of my sin. It's because of your sin. That's why the cross had to be. Why was the suffering? My sin. I put him there. I nailed him there. And so because of that, as a Christian now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, it should be my goal to hate sin and flee from it. Think about it. It put him there. My sin put him there. Why would I want to be involved in sin? And I understand I still have an old nature. I still have an old nature that wants to do wrong. But I was given a new nature, and I think we talk about that here in a little bit. The Old Testament, sacrificial system. The lamb was pure. The lamb was spotless. The lamb was without blemish, and it was offered for the sins of the people. Turn over quickly to the Gospel according to John chapter number 1, and you probably know the verse. You probably know the verse when we think of the Lamb of God. What motivates us? I want you to think about these. Just meditate on these. Don't be motivated to come. Don't be motivated to be a witness for Christ. Don't be motivated to come to deliver the truth day because Pastor Turner wants you to come. Don't come for that. We got to be motivated to be a witness because of the cross. I mean, salvation is free, is it not? It's freely given. Freely received. Oh, but it costs a lot. It's free, but it costs a lot, right? And so that's a motivator. John 1:29. Mr. John the Baptist. Why are you a Baptist? Because of John the Baptist. That's why. Okay. The next day, John seeth Jesus. The Baptist can be traced all the way to Jesus. Amen. That's not true. But we do trace the church. The Baptist distinctives are traced all the way back to the Lord Jesus. If you've never read The Trail of Blood, here's a rabbit trail, and no pun intended. If you've never read The Trail of Blood, you need to read The Trail of Blood. Who's never read The Trail of Blood or even looked at it? Okay, you got to get The Trail of Blood. Do we have any of those here tonight, Pastor Nathan? Are they accessible? We got a couple people that have never. You need the copy of The Trail of Blood, and everybody needs a copy of The Trail of Blood. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Pastor Nathan. Thank you, though. He's going to get them. Because that is so important to show us about church history. And the Donatists and the Paulicians and the Waldenses. These are all Baptistic churches. There's a little P.S. in the preaching time, okay? These are all Baptistic churches. And I was talking to, Randall, was that you I was talking to? Friday night, we got into this. Right, we got into this on Friday night. That's right. That's right. We were talking about church history. And I don't have a lot of it memorized, enough of it memorized, but that book is a big help. It's a big help. Okay, let's read John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah, the Lamb of God. His sacrifice was once and for all, right? In the Old Testament, it was all the time, every year. But Jesus died once for all, the Lamb of God. The very moment, if you're saved tonight, the very moment that you turn to Jesus Christ for salvation, we are no longer under the authority of the devil. No longer. We were given a new father. Once, yes, our father was the devil, but once we get saved, we have a new father. Verse 5 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came. We mentioned this already. The Lord Jesus Christ came to take away sin. Verse 8, notice verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, that's a good word. Maybe that's a word you want to underline in your Bible. Purpose. Do you know that every life that's been saved, well, every life for that matter, but every life, especially that's been saved tonight, you have purpose. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are not an uh-oh. If you don't have the trail of blood, Pastor Nathan's got them. Just wave at him. He's got three. Well, there you go. Yeah, that's okay. Give one to brother, yeah, and brother Alan. There you go. If you didn't get one, we'll get you one. Thank you, Pastor Nathan, for doing that. Appreciate that. But let's think about that word for a minute. Purpose. You're not, it's, you look at your whole life and you say, what does all this have to do with anything? You have a purpose. God didn't just save you and God didn't just save me for no reason. You know, Jesus Christ didn't just appear in a manger and go through all that he did just to go through. You got one more? Brother Moises, did you have your hand up? Give to Brother Moises, please. There you go. That's I forgot to tell you, they're $50 each. Just kidding. You can have those. And look through that and get to the point where you pull out that map. And there's a map in there and there's blood dots. And the trail of blood, that's all the way from Jesus all the way to Baptist Church, okay? We are not Protestants. This is really rabbit trail central tonight, but we're going with it. The Holy Spirit's telling me to go with it. We are not Protestants, in case you're wondering. Okay, we did not come out of the Catholic Church. Okay? Now, God bless Martin Luther for banging up those 95 theses. He took a stand. Okay? I'm not criticizing that at all, but that's not what we are, okay? And so that'll help you a little bit. So purpose, though. Let's get back to the purpose of this message, all right? Look at verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, made known. Here it is. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that great? So the Son of God's purpose for him going to the cross was to destroy the works of the devil. So that means if you're saved tonight and you've accepted the payment that was made by Jesus Christ, then the works of the devil, if you apply that to your life and my life, the works of the devil can be destroyed every time. Which means there's no reason for us to live in sin. None. Look, the purpose of Jesus Christ was to destroy the works of the devil so that so we could have victory. Not so we could live in, and we all have roller coasters, all right, in the Christian life. I'm susceptible to it, okay? As much as anybody. But he came that we might have this victory. And so let me give you quickly three steps to having victory over prevailing sin. Okay, jot these down, because it says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Just so you know, that does not mean never sins. It means he doesn't commit sin and stay in it and stay in it and stay in it and stay in it. No, there's something in you called the Holy Spirit of God that if you're a Christian and born again by the Spirit of God, you're going to be convicted of it. And confess it and forsake it. Number one, three steps to having victory over prevailing sin. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. 1 John 4:4, you're there. Just turn over one page, please. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. There's no reason that we have to stay in prevailing sin. Ye are of God, little children. Remember, family of God. And what? Have overcome them. I like that word, overcomer, don't you? That's not what it says, but it's okay to say that. Overcomer. Be an overcomer. Jesus Christ's purpose was to go to the cross so that we could live an overcoming life. Overcoming temptation. Overcoming depression. Overcoming discouragement. Overcoming defeat. Because greater is he that is in you. Don't forget that. Greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. We can overcome prevailing sin by the power of the one who is in us. We can overcome prevailing sin by the power of this book. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. You know, every time I start to feel maybe whatever, that the temptation is coming or whatever's coming, and you know what I do? If I can, if I'm in a place where, you know, I'm not necessarily right around somebody, and if I started quoting scripture really loud, they might think I've lost it, even though I probably have lost it anyway. But I just start quoting scripture. You know, you're in your car alone, and sometimes I have 550 on, but not all the time because not everything on 550 is going to help me. So be careful about that. But turn that off. And, you know, sometimes even the devil he'll just come in there and he'll try to attack. And you know what? I just pick a verse and just start quoting it. And this isn't about me because I have no power in me and myself. None. Zero. Devil's not intimidated by the tie, the suit, even this little hanky thing over here. He doesn't care about that. He'll attack. He's fine. Keep talking, young man. That's a preacher right there. Keep talking. That's good. Preach it. He's saying amen. That's what he's saying. Come on now. Dada or amen. I don't know which one it was. Good. But that word of God. You know what happens? Gone. Gone. Whatever was coming is gone. Because that's how we can have victory over prevailing sin. Number two. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, flee lustful desires. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, ready for the master's use. Isn't that something? And prepared, look at that, and prepared unto every good work. We got to be prepared for God to use us. Make our lives ready for that purpose. By the way, every day, I believe you, there's a purpose for every day. Every day that you live, there's a purpose. It's not necessarily to go and punch in and punch out and go home. That's part of it. That's part of it. But within that, there's a greater purpose. Where you work, you are there on purpose. You know, Miss Ina gave us that testimony on, I don't mean to embarrass her, but she gave that testimony on Sunday night. I've got this job coming. I'm training with a purpose in mind. Because what God has done in my life in a cancer journey, speaking from what she said, now I want to use that for God's glory. And it doesn't matter if it's cancer. It doesn't have to be cancer, but it could be something else for you. And there's a purpose why God has allowed it into your life. And you might say, man, I wish I could just get this out of my life. Okay, well, let's see what God has for that purpose. But it's there on purpose. So, secondly, flee lustful desires. Don't set yourself up for failure. Okay? Don't set yourself up for failure. Don't have things around you that are going to cause you to sin. Whatever that might be in your life. And again, this is really just a side note. So, and then thirdly, go to Hebrews 13, please. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Number three, steps to having victory over prevailing sin. Seek the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. Flee lustful desires. Three, seek help from the church. Be accountable. And seek the prayers of others. That's kind of three things in one, but this is the benefit of the local church. You don't have to have victory over prevailing sin alone. You don't have to try to overcome by yourself. Yes, number one, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number two, get away from any known lusts that are in your life. Flee all of them. You know, don't put yourself right in the middle of sin and then say, man, I don't know why I'm not having victory over this. Well, it's because you're right in the middle of it. You know, you're watching the wrong things. You're listening to the wrong things. You're surfing the wrong things, you know, on the internet and all that. No, just do away with that. Sometimes that's the biggest problem. We're the ones that are bringing it on. Satan's helping us, but we're the ones. And then, that's what the church is for. You say, but what will somebody think about me? That's not the church. The church is that we all have our issues. We all have things that are prevailing in our life. We can help one another. It doesn't mean necessarily you have to come up here and get behind the mic and say, you know, my name is Bob and I have this problem in my life. But you could talk to me as a man, or you could talk to talk to my wife, you could talk to another one of these men or other ladies that are here. And, you know, just I need to talk to somebody. Would you pray with me about this? We're a family. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. One little rope, easy to cut. Two in there, not as a little bit harder, but then you get three in there. So, steps to having victory. I just wrote down the benefit of the local body. As we abide in Christ, that's chapters 1 and 2, we won't break God's law. God's new life has been born in us. And that leads me to one more. Let's do one more. We're looking at reasons why, motivators to love God and obey God. Number 4 is our new nature. We have a new nature. Let's go back to 1 John 3. We have a new nature. Isn't that great? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, verse 9, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. When we get saved, the old nature is not eliminated. It's not eliminated. We know that. We've talked about that. However, God gives us a new nature, and this new nature, the new nature, desires to please Him and live differently than before we got saved. So the key is, we've got to yield to the new nature. We've got to focus on the new man. Saved, born again, that part that God put in us. Galatians 6:1. Go to Galatians 6:1. See, if I yield to the new nature, I won't sin. Problem is when I yield to the old man. The old nature, that's when I sin. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This is when we yield to the old nature, that's what we'll do. Now, John compares Cain and Abel. In this text, verse 11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Well, that would be Abel. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. His brother's works were righteous. Cain was a child of the devil. He represents someone who's saved by works, the works of the ground. He's a liar and a murderer. Abel represents someone who's a child of God. Abel had faith, and it was accepted by God. His offering was accepted by God. You see, we've been reading in our study in Acts that many of Satan's children are still very religious. Very religious. In fact, in Paul's day, they were the ones that wanted to kill him. I was reading today, Acts 25, just kept reading it over and over again, and they just don't give up. Waiting 2 years, waiting all that time, and it's the religious people that wanted to kill him. So who is behind the religious people in the Bible in Saul's day, in Paul's day? It was Satan. Nothing's changed. The religious of today are still under the control of the enemy. You see, Cain worshipped at an altar. The Pharisees are also pretty good at worshiping at an altar as well. So, what motivates us to love God? What motivates us to obey God? The fact that God has given us a new nature. God has given us Himself. God has given us the Holy Spirit. You don't have to try to obey God. We just have to yield to the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will obey God. When we die to our will and accept His will, we will obey God. And God will get all the glory for it. We'll pick it up here next week.